we got caught up last week with everything up to week 8. This is chapter 9. We're going to get into some new materials. Hey, JR, how are you?
I feel like we're on some, I thought we were on week 10 assignment and chapter 11 that we read.
Week 10. I'm going by what I feel like I've covered with you.
Oh, okay.
Despite some of these weeks. Did you get familiar with the concept of 90-6-4-2-2-1? 90 was the free look. Okay, so we're done with that. And in week 10, we're covering these introductions. And when do we ask community involvement? Social networking. We cover the other components of the 96-6-10. And then week 11 is in leadership and the game board, which is a very important component. So let me take a moment and just get this acquisition component down. So I'm going to zoom through and do a review. But before I do that, any questions about anything we've been covering so far?
Kind of coming.
You got it all in? You guys are taking it all in? You guys are good.
We're just like a big old sponge, Curtis.
You guys are terrific. You're so good. All right. By way of review then, remember we've got several methodologies of client acquisition. I don't want you to go in and try to do every single one of them right away. I'd like you to focus on just three components that make sense. Using that BPSA referral model and the 90-day free look, or using it with COIs and client referrals, that's one. So COIs, using them, getting 6 per producer, and then the possibility of the mastermind group, okay? That's what I recall that we talked about. The two refers to your niche markets, and the other two refers to community boards. Are any of you serving on a nonprofit community board at this point?
Yeah, I'm on one with Clemson. That's where I graduated.
Okay. All right. Clemson. I think if I recall, they have a pretty decent football team.
We work at it.
There we go.
But you lost that star quarterback, right?
Yeah, he's there. He's got one more season with us.
Oh, he's there? Okay. So, and then the one referred to a social media strategy. So one of the things I would say to you, and I've served on a number of boards, but one of the things that I never did do is simply go to a board member and say, look, we've been on the board together and it occurred to me that we really haven't spent any time together. I'm wondering if we might be able to, break a little bread over breakfast or lunch. I can explain some of the things I do. And I'd like to hear more about what you do. And there goes your community board strategy. And then you can work the BPSA model in that process, that referral model. So that's what you would do in a nonprofit situation. But again, I don't want you all over the place. Pick a couple that you feel comfortable with. Have you identified your two or three client acquisition strategies at this point that you feel most comfortable with?
I know we're 100% with our social media part. We've been set on that for a good bit now. What I don't know, and I remember this in the video, it's when it was like, when it came to picking a board to be on, you could go and like see, you picked the one with like the highest budget or something like that. Did you, could you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, I think, the first thing you should do on a board is participate in something that you have, that you're passionate about. What do boards want? They want your time. They want your money. That's what they want. Okay. What do you want? You're doing it for altruistic reasons, you know, for the good of mankind, for the good of the community, the good of people. That's your real rationale for being on a community board. Second to that is, as long as you're on that board, can any business be cultivated as a result? And that's where you want to engage folks in the one-on-one kind of meetings. It occurred to me that we've never met before or spent any real time. I'd like to meet with you and find out what you do and help you understand what I do. And what you want to do is try to meet. Every board is going to have at least an attorney, at least a CPA, and maybe a couple of business owners on that board. So what you want to do is get to know them. And where it makes sense is in that advice model. You say, look, I'd like to work with people like you. What would be your advice on how I should go about it? Okay. So that's how it gets started. Okay. Is that
I'm add something.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
So I think all that advice is helpful and great. And actually, before I add anything, because I am going to change the subject a little bit back to social, I should probably wait to see if Peyton had a response to what you just shared, because I think that was important, Curtis. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
You good? Okay, so that wraps it up for you, Johnny. How about you relative to Clemson? That could be a potential source of referrals for you.
I'm good with that. I worked some of those. I just haven't actually, this is going to push me over the edge, I think, to follow through with some of what I've already initiated.
Okay, good, good. So that's how you work that in. Next thing you know, you're now getting with your COIs, with the 90-day free look, your two niche markets, and your four-member mastermind group, you should be having referrals and prospects that begin to start just mushrooming. You know, you should be getting so many that you almost have to cut it off. Okay? All right. Let's go back to JR. You want me to get into social media and then?
Yeah, there was just something on social media comment I wanted to share. But to this point around, the board, like I do think that y'all's transition to Greenville is like a really interesting catalyst for driving some of those conversations as you're getting closer to the university, and that could really introduce a lot of what Curtis is talking about. On social media, one thing I just wanted to point out to you all is, we've talked a lot about outsourcing some of this work. So you kind of set up the vision, and then who can we bring in to help process some of the things? For social, we have, this program called the Virtual Engagement Advisor, called VEA. I'm going to send you a one-page document on that for review. You get a 90-day trial of it, and they can set up like all this social stuff for you with your guidance. And so as Curtis goes through this, just know that we can outsource some of this work to help y'all get going sooner rather than later. But I'll pause there and turn it back over to you, Curtis.
Yeah, you know, on the social media front, primarily it's LinkedIn. I just got off a conference call with someone, And we're going to use them. You know, he's looking at my LinkedIn. I get 4 to 5 LinkedIn names a week. Almost too many that I can't even follow up. I do no LinkedIn posting. Okay. I've put up a couple of videos and a couple of articles and things, but other than that, I'm not working it. Okay. And I've got over 1200, people in my LinkedIn database. And then I put in my, 3 universities, in there. One's got over 250,000, you know, folks. Another one has got, about 100,000 alumni. And another one has got maybe close to 200, the Wharton. So I'm not even working it. If I was an FA and I just had it just in those groups, 300,000, because I got my universities in there, and then all of the folks that want to connect with me, that's a whole nother market development strategy. So I wanted you to be aware of the impact and the power. And I think last time I said I wanted to send you some information on like 34 techniques for using LinkedIn. And I need to get that to you. It's just something that I cut and copied and pasted on all the different ways you could use LinkedIn. But the first step is you got to get your profile on there. Now, do you have a profile, Peyton, for on LinkedIn?
Yeah, when I first started, I've focused on just our social media for a while. So we have both of our LinkedIn's, Facebook, hundreds of followers on all of them, and I post at least twice a week.
Okay, see, you're a heck of a lot better than me. You're posting twice a week. And so do you post for the whole team?
I do.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I'm delegated for Johnny's as well.
Okay. Now, do you receive any new names each week? I mean, how many names are coming to you each week?
Names as in referrals? I mean, we get like likes and stuff, but
Facebook, but LinkedIn.
No referrals, but we also haven't asked for any either. How do you get a referral when you post something about the market, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's all about, having a good value. You know, we provide a concierge service to affluent households, and we help them, identify, opportunities in the markets. We help them restructure their financial plans, and we minimize taxes. So, you know, you got to have a line in there that induces people to want to speak with you.
And this is a post or
in LinkedIn, post, but just in your value proposition where there's this line in LinkedIn that says about, so that you put something in there that says about who you all are.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to, you know, as we continue on, I'm going to give you a little more on that LinkedIn. But I've got to make a note here. Send LinkedIn notes. So it's going to be about 3 pages of notes on how to effectively use LinkedIn. And of course, you all have kind of are you outsourcing, these folks that help with LinkedIn, JR, or are they part of Morgan Stanley?
They're part of Morgan Stanley. We've built a team of professionals to help with it.
Well, there you go. Peyton, I would, since you are the social media strategist for the team, then I would encourage you to take on that area of responsibility. And call the folks at Morgan Stanley. And I'm going to be on a call with Morgan Stanley tomorrow morning, and I'll probably find out a little more about it at that time as well.
I'll send you the flyer as well, Curtis.
Okay. Andrew. Yeah, that would be much appreciated. Any questions on mastermind groups? Are we okay with mastermind groups based on our previous conversations? We okay with that? Okay. Let's see. We talked about expanding niche markets, and then we got into number 10, which got into how do you ask for introductions? You know, that would be like saying, I think you should exclusively get referrals using the VIPSA script. Okay? I just think that that's the easiest way to go. And let's examine why clients don't want to give them to you. They don't want to give you a referral because they think that you might divulge confidential information about them. They don't want that to happen. They won't give you a referral because they think that you might mishandle the referral. So those are the real two reasons. And if you're developing a concierge service, one of the things I used to always explain to clients is how I get paid. And one of the ways I get paid is if you like the service that we're providing, I would hope that you would refer affluent individuals to me that may have a need for our concierge services. Okay. So that's how you're going to work the referral piece and work the VIPSA model in that, using that script. Okay. All right. So when's the best time to ask for introductions in a face-to-face meeting? Now, are you all having face-to-face meetings using Zoom at this point?
Not
Zoom. Or telephonic? What would you say, Lisa?
Got people that are face-to-face.
We just got back from a meeting with a client, and but we were face-to-face.
Okay. All right. So at the end of the conversation, that is the best time to ask for the referral using the VIPSA model. Okay.
And so we did.
Oh, you did?
We did.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go to chapter 12 then. We got this one down.
She actually, and this is one of Johnny's clients that he actually had this young lady's father prior to her. I say young lady, she's my age, but anyway,
I'll accept that.
Yeah, we were explaining our folder and everything and the whole process and it all, it was a good, probably, test run for me as well, because I hadn't been out and about like that with Johnny too many times. But at the end of the day, she said she loved it, like the idea and the fact that she had already thought of people that she wanted to, you know, in her circle of friends that needed some help. And they were like, well, I never talked to my financial advisor, but maybe once a year. And she's already said she wanted to, you know, share the love with the Payden group. So it was good.
And I noticed that you used the plural term peoples, which meant that there was more than one.
Yes.
potential referral.
Right. Yeah. She's got a good circle of, she has, a wide circle of friends, different friend groups, you know, some okay. of her college buddies, some real good friends that she has had lifelong friends, and she casts a wide net, I would say. So she's going to be a good COI and just a good person to give kudos to us, hopefully.
Okay. Very good. It's working. It's working for you. I like that. So again, and I think you kind of probably have already picked up on this, is the best time to really ask for an introduction is when you're face to face with the client. And it's not that you're going to physically say, hey, how about some introductions today? Is there somebody else that would appreciate the concierge service that we deliver to clients?
And well, actually, Curtis, the page, you know, in our folder that says introductions given and received.
Yeah.
As we built these folders, Johnny and I were talking about the fact that that page is kind of hard to explain. And yeah. So as we were flipping through it and we were explaining it, and I said, this one is, you know, a little bit confused, not confusing, but we're not sure what you're supposed to put on it. But that kind of evolved into that conversation. And she and Johnny too said this training this program has allowed us to kind of think differently about how we ask or.
Okay.
So that was a good reason for that. That's how the referral came up, wasn't it? That talking about that page. Wow. So
yeah, she just had a new relationship with a realtor in the past 8 or 9 months, and she gave us that name, and I'm not prepared yet. I'm going to wait to get a signal from her before she allows me to introduce myself. Working, and we already had, you know, that page is busy, but with her, I've already got her attorney and her accountant embedded from over the years relationship. And
that was the other endorsed model page.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Beautiful.
So it works, Dave. Thank you. That I'll tell you it works. And when it says we explain it to the client, it kind of turns a light bulb on to them as well. And they say, oh, okay. You know, it's not just that I'm there to call and manage your money. We want to manage you, everything that you do. And,
fantastic. So let's suffice it to say that there's no feelings at this point that you can't take your practice up a few notches into another level, given just the stuff that you have right now, because you're getting more assets. You started culling, segmenting the book, and you started getting more assets in Payton Ford. And so this seems to be working. So the best time to get the introductions is in a face-to-face situation. All right. Let's touch on a little bit of the failure points. I like to call them impediments to your success. So let's talk about that for a moment. The impediments to success is you got too many clients and you can't deliver the full complement of the concierge service. That's a failure point. So failure to segment. That's number one. Number two, failure to set up and follow through with monthly contact. You know, client contact for every client. That means get them on the scheduler, get your executive summary follow up, send them the agendas, you know, do that type of service. Failure to ask for introductions. But I think we're beyond that. You're doing it. Failure to develop your centers of influence. Make sure that they're on the schedule and are getting monthly contact. Failure to create a mastermind group. Okay. Where do we stand on the mastermind group concept right now? Just to take a moment.
I understand it. Build it.
Okay.
So and you I'm need actually to build it. Greenville. Day tonight, so I'm starting all this stuff really on Monday.
Oh wow, okay.
Because the meeting and all that.
Okay, because really what we want to do is, what I'm trying to get at is to help you double over the next 12 to 18 months. So we've already kicked up our target minimums. And we've got clients coming in from centers of influence, your niche markets, your enthusiastically endorsed model. But again, you know, just be mindful. I don't want you to do too much before you get the other things going. But that mastermind group is a great way to go. Okay. Failure to schedule time for prospecting. And prospecting for you all is having personal introductions and meeting with those folks. That's your prospecting, getting them scheduled, making sure your prospects have folders. And the seventh failure point is failure to articulate the Supernova model with some degree of enthusiasm. You know, look, we're excited. We are delivering this optimum concierge service to our clients, and I feel compelled to just spend some time and share it with you that our clients are finding this to be very worthwhile. I want to take a few minutes of your time, and I want to explain it and just get into it, okay? So those are the failure points for acquisition. I would say you're doing all seven of these things correctly. And what we're doing now is we're moving to perfection. We're just getting better and better at these things each week. Okay. Let's talk about the game board. Rob likes to call it the giving board. And this is when you are actually applying some metrics, some measurement standards to the things that you're measuring. Now, BIPSA, you want to look at how many times this week did I actually use the BIPSA model in terms of getting referrals? How many clients did I offer the 90-day trial? COIs, how many COI meetings did I have? And did I get any referrals from them? The mastermind group, you know, did I meet with them? Client financial plans that were reviewed. What was our goal for the week? How many plans were reviewed or updated? Client meetings. So how many client, what's your goal for client meetings? Is it, And these are phone calls as well as sit-down meetings. So what's your goal for the week? And are you meeting that goal? You know, can you meet with four people a day? Four clients a day, three prospects. And if you both did that on the game board, that would be like eight client meetings and six prospect phone calls or meetings. Okay. That might be a lot. If it is, scale it down to three. If it fits comfortable in your schedule, do four. And if I walked into your office, there should be four folders on your desk of the people that you're going to contact that particular day. Okay. Very important. Your niche markets. You know, people that are in your niche markets, did you spend time with them? Your community board meetings are on there. So Clemson, that board meeting may only occur once per month, but identify the folks within the board that you agreed to meet with. And your social media strategy has to do with updating your LinkedIn and getting referrals from your social media strategy. And for now, that's going to come a little bit late, but you're going to talk to Morgan Stanley about that. So what you're going to do is, at the game board is on page 95 in your guidebook, and where you put the name down for each producer and what they achieved, that particular week. So when you all huddle up on a Friday or a Monday, you go through and say, well, let's see how we measure up. Let's see what we did. We did pretty good. And all the categories except one, we didn't make one phone call to a COI, and we need to do that. Okay. So that's how you want to be operating with your game board. Now, who on the team would be managing the game board? Would that be Lisa? Would that be?
I feel like I could do it.
You could do that?
Hayden's the master, I think, would be the one to run that one.
Now, some people put it on an Excel spreadsheet. You know, I don't know if that's what you're going to do, Peyton, but, or it could just be on one sheet. And, when you huddle up the team, each person talks about what they did. Okay. All right. Now that's for the financial advisor. For the client service practice manager, Lisa, what you want to do, because you're responsible for the scheduler, is you want to make sure that certain things get done. Client appointments made. Client appointments confirmed. Agendas sent out. Folders that have been updated so that you, when you have that client call, the executive summary gets placed in that folder. Next steps. Any appointment notes go in that folder. If you're doing them on a yellow pad and you're taking notes, put them in the folder. Client meetings that are on the scheduling tool. Executive summaries that are sent. So you're making sure nothing slips through the cracks so that the client, when you say concierge service, they're really getting the concierge service. And then, of course, clients that call in, rapid response to problems. And these are you logging in for follow-up things that have to be done. If they don't have cash management accounts, you got to send out a dividend, whatever. You're keeping track of operational issues. Okay.
Is that whole list that you mentioned in the book?
Page 95.
Okay.
Page 95 in your guidebook. Okay. Now you can take this to a point where it can get really, really nerdy. So I want you to be careful that you're just not spending all your time trying to monitor activity to the extent that no activity gets done. So I want you to be really, really careful. And the way that, let's talk about the scoreboard, which is kind of the third component. And the scoreboard is measuring the team's results. So the VP of planning, VP of implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership each have kind of a function. And they're going to measure some things. So if you're the VP of planning, CFP designation, client plans that have been implemented. If you're also responsible for plan implementation, you're looking at implementing that process, looking at your 24-month calendar, checking and seeing how you're doing. VP of brand management, you're setting up and updating the game board, rapid response, scheduling the team meetings. So if I looked at your scheduler, I'm going to find your workout schedule in there. I'm going to find your prospect meetings in there, your client meetings in there, your team huddle meetings are going to be in there. So everything gets scheduled so that nothing falls through the cracks. Okay. Marketing. You're growing the practice, the team pipeline, getting to know, getting known in your community, which is now your new community, and looking at your acquisition strategies. VP of leadership. Moving the team forward. with goals, meeting with each member of the team, ensure their development, personal, you know, designations, purpose, mission, vision statements, making sure that none of that needs to be updated. Okay. And so this is something that you might want to look at, once a month. Okay. You can talk about it briefly once a week, but it's okay to talk about this, once a month and just look at, take stock of your team's progress from a month to month standpoint. Okay. All right. Let me stop for questions. Understanding what we're measuring at this point and how we're keeping track. The scoreboard is on page 96. Any questions?
Good stuff.
Okay.
We need a whiteboard. That's what Peyton said. We got to have a strategy.
Yeah.
Think tank room somewhere along the way and be able to put this in front of us.
Yeah. And so what it is, you know, like I just got off the phone with the team and, they haven't been meeting. They haven't been getting together. They haven't been keeping the game board or the scoreboard. One member of the team had been through Supernova, but the other three haven't. So I had to reintroduce these concepts. And they said, oh, wow, good idea. We should be meeting once a week as a team. So I said, schedule it. If you don't schedule it, it's probably not going to happen. Okay. But what it does is that, you know, when you're focusing on business, you're focusing on business. When you're not, I want you to focus on other things like fishing, health, you know, where are you going to go to dinner? You know, all of those things. But, you know, when you get together and your business is your business and your measurement standards are your measurement standards, you're focused on that. But it's so this fosters kind of a work hard, play hard team culture. When we're working, and when we're playing, okay? All right. So make sure that now that we have carved out duties and responsibilities, the people that now have, or each of you team members that have these responsibilities, are reporting in on how you're doing. Okay. And that's where the accountability comes in. Now, with me being your coach, there's this accountability because every week I'm saying, how are you doing on this? How are you doing on that? But pretty soon, you know, well, I'm still going to be with you for a while, but the team is going to have to self do this itself. They're going to have to hold themselves accountable for their activities. And that's what we're talking about. These progressive activities that now lead to outperformance, not just the average performance. You will begin to outperform. Okay. All right. I'll talk about the team pipeline of prospects. Are you color coding those on your scheduler? That if a name appears on the schedule, you can look and see if it's a prospect or a client?
We've only
or COI.
Only client schedule. We haven't scheduled prospects because of our transition.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're working on the clients first, and but we will definitely color code prospects.
Okay, and so this is what you're doing here. You're looking at. Remember a long time ago we talked when we first began. We said, "I bet your close ratio is between 85% to 90% when you get a personal introduction of a prospect." Okay. So what we want you to do is just calculate your closure rate for each advisor. So what you have to do is look at the number of introductions that you need from clients to get a qualified client. Okay. My guess is if you got one introduction, there's a 90% chance that you're going to close them. Okay. the number of introductions you're getting from your COIs. Measure that, because now you're looking at, is my activity working? Measure your 90-day free looks. You know, was it, how much time, what does it take in order for you to generate one new client? Measure your introductions from your mastermind group. Measure your introductions from LinkedIn. Measure your introductions from community involvement so that you really have a concrete idea where your clients are coming from. Now, you know, my thinking is if you're doing so well with COIs and getting referrals from your existing clients, that might be enough for you to generate enough new client relationships to double your business. Okay. So in the beginning, you kind of measure all, but you start to get focused on the things that really work for you, that you feel really, really strongly about. Okay. I'm still a big proponent. While we coach you on, you know, 6 or 7 different methodologies, I'm still convinced that when people are focused on maybe 3 areas that they tend to excel. But if all of a sudden you got a nonprofit, what we're saying, don't throw away that opportunity to cultivate relationships. Okay. And you can have more than one mastermind group too. Get your first one down and you might get a second. And pretty soon, if this team keeps going in this direction, you might be knocking on JR's door saying, we're going to have to add another person. You know, what a wonderful situation to have. Okay. What I want to do next week is spend some time talking about team communication, business planning, looking at the sample agenda for the weekly scoreboard meeting, and having your daily stand-up huddle-up meetings, okay? It's kind of like football team is out there, and timeout is called. There's the quick huddle. Hey, we need to adjust our offense because, you know, I'm the quarterback and I keep getting slammed. So we need to do something and plug up that hole. That takes no more than, you know, 4 or 5 minutes on the sidelines where we're having a team huddle. That's what I want you all to do. Hey, time for a team huddle. Any team member can call a team huddle. Say, look, there's an elephant in the room. We got to get rid of that elephant. Let's have a quick team huddle and talk about it. Or I got a big prospect. We've got an opportunity to close some significant business. Let's huddle up. Let's have a discussion about how we're going to go about it. Okay? That's what the team huddle is all about. And so, those things should occur no more than 15 minutes. You can do them right before lunch and get on a call and execute your team huddle. So we want to talk about these. I call them team huddles, but they're your daily stand-up meetings, okay? And we'll spend more time talking about those things on our next session. I think that's enough for one day. Questions about anything we covered and what you may have valued in this particular session today? Let's start with Peyton Ford. What did you kind of grab hold of that you're going to do?
The only question I have is, at what point, let's say it's a completely new relationship and we're starting Supernova with them, at what point do you ask them for referrals? Is it just when you feel like we both have the connection to then ask them, maybe it's 6 months or a year after, or I know you don't do it right away.
Right. You know, I wrote an article, I don't know if I sent it to you all, but it was on how to establish an emotional connection with a client. When your relationship becomes more of an emotional connection, that's when I think it's time to ask. The other part is like in that BPSA model, I had some questions that you were would ask during that that time frame. And remember we talked about don't give anonymously. It's when you've done something for the client that they value, that they benefit from. You've reduced their taxes. Let's say you reduce somebody's taxes by $10,000 a year. Perfect time to ask for an introduction. Do you know someone else that I might be able to talk about this strategy with? Or you've created a trust to avoid probate, or you protected the family against the loss of a primary breadwinner, or you've grown the assets through portfolio management, or you've helped solidify retirement income in the amount of an additional $2,000 per month, or you saved thousands of dollars in interest payments by moving from, you know, installment credit card debt to securities-based lending. So when you've done something that benefits someone, that's your time to do it. If you look at a client relationship and there's nothing that you can show a tangible benefit from, not the time to be asking for a referral. Okay. So do it when you've nailed down, you know, one or two tangible benefits that they understand that you initiated. Best time to ask for a referral is then. Okay. All right. But excellent question. Johnny, what do you think? What do you think in terms of what you may have valued or gotten out of this particular session or questions?
Yeah, the whole in a way that you, one leads to the step, you know, it's not a rush to the finish line. You have to build this as it goes. So Lisa today, when she introduced the folder to Paula, I sat back and just watched the whole thing, and it was pretty, I wish you could have watched it, Peyton, because Paula, our client, is very engaged anyway with what we do for her and her family. But as Lisa flipped the page and explained, all I heard from her was, wow, that's wonderful. And she mentioned things that she does, which is part of what we do, but it's scattered. You know, it's not going to be, now she's going to have a folder that's going to have a lot of important family items in there that she's going to take very well care of. So the more of those that we see and do, the more confidence we're going to have with it. And I was a little concerned with that today because I didn't know some people want to be a control freak and she wants to do it all, you know, but she was open to this. And I was just going to sit. I didn't warn Lisa about this. I just wanted to see how hot the room was going to get, you know, and it didn't. It worked out great. So this whole thing, I can't say any one particular session, Curtis, each one adds to the previous and I like where we're headed.
Yeah, it just keeps building and look, you know, once we've kind of covered everything, once a month, we're going to go back and uncover anything that we don't have a sound footing in. And we're going to spend time talking about, you know, the relationship component and how we're doing with relationships and any snafus, any challenges, any difficulties. But right now, you all are really getting hands on with the kind of the academic training in the first 12 weeks. You're understanding the concepts and where they lead. Then we're going to go and we're reinforcing those. So, you know, I feel like you all are doing extremely well. So my hat's off to you. Lisa, anything that, you value or you want to talk about from our session today?
From today, I like game board idea because as I told Peyton and Johnny earlier, next week is our last weekly call, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. So to hold us accountable and keep us, you know, eye on the prize, this is going to be a good way to keep our assessment of where we are going and keep it front of mind because, you know, we all can get busy on the other stuff and put this, you know, this isn't going to go on the back burner, but we've got to keep it, you know, right where we be looking at it. That'll be a good way. And every time we've, obviously because we aren't in the same office, but when we do gather, the three of us, we're very focused on getting it done. Peyton's great at you know, keeping us on task and, right. You know, the communication still at the end of the day, the client base that we have, Johnny knows them better than anybody. So we all feed off each other on knowing how to present it to different ones. And obviously we hope we get new clients that none of us know. So we need to feel really confident in what we're doing going into that. So I think this game board is going to be good.
Okay. Fantastic. Hey, JR, is there any comments that you wanted to make about what this team has been covering or going through?
Yeah, just to reinforce the effort and time and focus that you all are putting into it. And, you know, I feel like a broken record here, but y'all are doing great. And Lisa, you really just called out the thing that we're going to need to be mindful of is maintaining momentum as the frequency of calls change. And so, we're aware, right? And that means we can do something about it. And, the great thing is that you all have experienced success thus far, right? So, you've got a team here to help you. Like we're so thrilled to see the progress y'all are making and let's keep it going and have a great last weekly call coming up here soon.
Okay. All right. Andy is kind of the quiet little observer, but maybe today I'll just let him throw out anything that he wants to share.
Sure. I agree with Lisa as far as the takeaway from today on the game board, the giving board.
Yeah.
The old thing is activity breeds production. We all know that. And we're all goal-oriented salespeople. And so these are just putting goals out there for yourselves that you want to achieve. And the accountability comes from each other. And so you sort of push each other by putting a structure out and then you have your goals. And as you know, then it all happens. So I thought that was terrific. And the last thing was Curtis's line about moving to perfection. And that's what will happen over the next 9 months. After you go through the whole program, it's obvious this group is, from what I can see, is doing well, and you'll really thrive as it continues.
I think they are. They got all the makings of, you know, one of my more successful teams. I do believe that. Okay, well, that concludes us for today. Wait a minute, Peyton's got a question here. He raised his finger. Go ahead.
I'm just curious, what happens after our last final meeting next week?
Then we go on monthly calls, once a month, for the next 9 months.
Okay.
So you're not going to get rid of me too soon.
No, we don't want to.
but in between that, if you need to call me or send me an email, you know, I'm available. I will respond. Okay.
Curtis, do you have 5 minutes after this or are you jumping to another one right after?
Sure. Let's see. I think I can, let me just, take a quick peek. Yeah, I have a break.
Okay. I'll give you a buzz right after this.
Okay. Call me at, 925-324-3983.
Got it. Alrighty. Okay. Thanks.
Nice being with you today. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Andy, I'll call you afterwards.
Okay, I've got another call coming up.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.